Hello everybody, welcome back to the Subscribe blog. This is episode number 6 of the Getting Started with Service Bus series, and today I'm talking about the relay. To get started with the relay, we're going to do something very similar to what we did with queues and also with topics. We're going to go and create a new project. That new project we're going to put into a folder called relay here, because we're not going to create one, but two projects. So the first one is we're going to call service, and the second we're going to add here to that same solution as a new project. We're going to call this client. The features of the relay for Service Bus are integrated with the Windows Communication Foundation for SOAP services, but you can also write services that expose plain HTTP. I'm going to show you both of those options. Because this is a WCF, Windows Communication Foundation service, we need to go and create a contract, because that's what WCF is based on. So we're going to go and add that, and we're going to create a new item, and we will go and create an interface. And the interface is going to be iWho, because the service is the iWho service, and it's super simple. And simply going to return without any parameters who that service is, so you can ask for its name. Since it's a Windows Communication Foundation service, we're going to go and decorate this. We're going to go and put a service contract on here, service contract attribute, and this needs to be an operation contract attribute. And you can see those don't resolve because we're missing the system.serviceModelAssembly. I could go and add that through the references. But I'm going to go and add the NuGet package for Service Bus straight here, because we have chained that in. So we're bringing the Service Model Assembly along. So let's go and install the Service Bus assembly and the configuration that we need. Let's bring that right along. So now we have that in here. And now we're going to go and reference this quickly. And now we're going to do the same thing on the client. Let's go and add the reference here as well. Add the NuGet package. Also grab the same one. It's already in our solution, so it's going to resolve very quickly as we add this here. So we're simply going to add all the right things to our project here. So you see there's an app config. And the app config also adds all the various different relay transports. These are the low level elements. These are the high level elements we have. So we can go and do this all on config. We're going to do this all in code just to get started. The client also will need to know about our interface that we just added, our contract. So we're going to go and add that as an existing item, go back to the service, go grab this here, and then add that as a link. Right now, we know this in both projects. So now we can go and implement this. That's going to be very, very simple. I'm going to add this straight up here in this class. So I'm going to go and call this my service, and that's going to implement iWho. And we need to implement that method, and that's going to return I am the server 1.0. So that's all it does. Let's go and make this let's expose this as a web service, as you would usually do that in WCF. So that needs a service host. That service host, new service host, will expose the type of that service. Type of service. There we go. And now, to expose this, if we don't do this via config, I'm going to do this via code. I'm going to add a service endpoint. That endpoint is for the type of iWho contract. And we're going to simply use the built-in net TCP binding of WCF. I'm going to expose that as net, not HTTP. My fingers want HTTP. Localhost, I'm going to pick a port 8008 slash service. So that's now added, that endpoint, and now I can tell that service host to open And I'm going to go and tell the console. On the console, I'm going to say write line, press enter to close. And console.readline. The typos are not because I'm nervous. The typos are actually because I'm a bad typer. Okay, so here's our service. That's all we need to do. We need to go and have the service host at the service endpoint. It's actually not all that bad. This is all we kind of need to do to expose that service to on my local machine to other clients. Let's do the matching part on the client here. For that, we need to have a channel factory. That's kind of the thing that disposes proxies. So I'm going to make a new one of that, channel factory of my contract of IHU. So that's the service, that's the channel factory. And again, here, we're going to add a new NetTCP binding instance and use the same address that we used over here. So let's go and grab that and put that in here. And the channel factory knows everything to create and dispense new channels. So I will go and create a new channel. Oops. And create that in here. Ooh, ha la la, create channel. And that on that channel, we're gonna go and put on out on the console whatever we get out of who. So if we now start this, service is already the default, so I can go and just say control F5, service is running. I'm gonna go and I'll make this the startup project. I'm gonna press F5. I am the server 1.0, so that happened, the local communication happened. So this is a normal communication between two processes on the same machine using the Windows Communication Foundation with the simple NetTCP binding, which is the most efficient binding that is available for WCF. Of course, you can use the WSHTTP binding, you can use all the HTTP-based bindings, but this is the most efficient one. I picked this because now we're gonna go and use that service. We're gonna take the service and expose it through a service bus. Observe the changes that I need to make. First thing is, I'm gonna change the binding from the NetTCP binding to NetTCP relay binding. That is the exact equivalent that we have for service bus. Now, the relay lives on service bus, lives in the cloud. So we're gonna grab from the registered namespace that we have here, our runtime address, runtime endpoint, and use that as the new prefix for our endpoint. That's what I did here. So I'm gonna go make this again our startup project. So that's all the motions that I need to expose this to service bus, minus one. Let's go and check what that is. I'm gonna start this, and now it's gonna crash. See how this still in German, service doesn't work anymore, suggesting that I debug it. Let's go and take a look at this first. It says the authorization failed exception. There was an authorization failure, of course, because it's a public external web service. So we need to give proof that we are authorized to use it. So on the service endpoint, which I can get from here, I'm going to add that. I'm going to add a behavior. And the behavior is the behavior that will go and grab tokens, make tokens, and then add them to the traffic. So it will know. And the behavior that encapsulates that behavior is the transport client endpoint behavior. That transport client endpoint behavior takes a token provider. That token provider, we're going to go and create up here. Let's go and add, let's go and add this in a way. Okay. Just want to format that nicely. Ah, numlock got in the way. Okay, so add the new transport client endpoint behavior. The behavior we're going to add up here, the token provider, because you should only have only one token provider in your project if you're dealing with a single identity for Service Bus. We're going to go and create one based on the shared secret. The shared secret token provider. I'm going to use the standard owner for the namespace here. And so if you can share a token provider actually across messaging and across the relay and across everything, because you're only using a single identity for your client or for a particular application, please do so and share that token provider across everything that you have, across the messaging factories, etc. Because the token provider contains a cache and you don't want to acquire tokens all that often. You want to reuse them. And so having a single instance of token providers and basically just passing that in here, that's how you get there. So let me go and make it a little more compact after all. And so I added that now. And if I start this, you will notice that this now opens without any problems. Here and over in the browser, we can't see that yet. So you see, this is my namespace, and here's Germany and HH and VIE. My endpoint is actually sitting here, and it's called Service, but you can't quite see it. These here, the Germany ones, that's, if I go back into Visual Studio and fold this up, these are my topics that I have organized here. Germany, as you see, you can see those guys showing up in the service registry. The intermediate nodes are all showing up, not the actual topics and queues. That actually depends on whether you want to make them visible or not. The discovery settings. We can also turn this on and we can make this discoverable here. So I'm going to do this very quickly. Let's stop the program. And then I can go and also make this discoverable. I can go and add again to that behaviors. I can add the new service registry settings. I can go and set the discovery type to public once I've done that. And I'm going to start this again. What you'll notice is, well, that opens again here. And in the service registry feed, you now see the service showing up. If I hit this now, if I click it, you can even click it. If I was hitting it directly, you would get a 400. And the 400 says, hey, you can't hit this because this is an NetTCP service. So this is the wrong client request to hit this with a GET. But you can see it. You can now discover it in the feed without providing a token. If you're providing a token, if you're using the management API, if you go against that endpoint, using a valid token that has managed privileges, you will also see that entry. So this is just for public discovery without authentication. That is what this is for. So now we have that, and let's go and manipulate the client in a similar way. We need to have a token provider as well. Let's go and grab this because we're going to need the same one. So let's go and add that here. And now the motions are going to be very similar. Instead of the NetTCP binding, we need the NetTCP relay binding here. And instead of we're going to need the same kind of prefix, a runtime endpoint that sits still behind service. And since we have a token provider, we can now go and add that to the channel factory. That happens on the channel factory's endpoint collection. That has behaviors, and we can go and add here the new transport client endpoint behavior that wraps that token provider. So once we've done that, we also now are authorized to kind of use the channel, the relay from the client. And so we added that behavior. Let's go and start the service. The service comes up as expected. And I'm going to go and activate the client and also run the client. And the client will, as expected, be able to talk to the server. Now, the change I made is now the communication between the client and the server didn't happen on my machine. But the server was listening in the EU data center as a publicly available endpoint, and the client was talking to it. So those machines now, those two programs, the client and the servers, which are running on my machine here, could be sitting across the world on different continents and could talk to each other without any changes but the changes that I just made. What you can also do is you could expose this as a web service. So for HTTP, let's go and do that now. As well, I'm going to do this in parallel. Let's go and see that we have them all closed. Let's go close those guys. Okay, now I'm going to go and take that same contract. I'm going to make that same contract, the IHU contract. I'm going to enable that for web. So I'm going to use the WCF web programming model here. It's not web API, it's the WCF web programming model, web get. I'm going to add this here, service model.web. I have to go and close this and do the same change into the linked in the linked file here. I'm going to add the same reference. So here we go. So now we have this on both sides. We're not going to use the client for that variant, but it's an additional declaration that we need. So and on the program side, we're going to have the same client exposed, and now I'm going to add another service endpoint here. And we're going to make this slightly different. So we're going to call this SE Web. I'm going to add also the same kinds of behaviors. And instead of using the NetCP relay binding, I will use the Web HTTP relay binding. So that's now providing the web capabilities, REST kind of capabilities, if you will, or the way to do this. And I'm going to call this guy here, web. And then I'm going to add, so that the programming model is enabled, I'm going to go and add to the SE web behaviors. I'm going to add the web HTTP behavior. And I should add a new one of that. Oops. All right. So there's the web HTTP behavior. So that's now all added. And this now sits completely in parallel. And we're actually going to expose that for HTTPS because that's the default security settings for web HTTP, secure by default, but using the same interface. And let's see what happens now. I'm going to start the, yeah, we started the client. I should have switched that already. Nothing is perfect. So go and let's go and have this here. Set a startup project. All right. So now this is open. Let's go here again. This is web. No authorization header. Huh, what did I do here? Ah, see, now I can browse it. But I would still have to go and supply the client credential. I would still have to supply a token. So the model here is the same. The client, even though it's talking plain HTTP, will have to come and provide a token for the REST interface. There are two ways to fix this. First, you could go and supply a token from the client. The second one is we can turn this off. And to turn this off, we can go into the web HTTP relay bindings configuration. And that will actually in the constructor, it allows us to choose the web end-to-end web security mode and then the client authentication type. We have the choice between enabling HTTPS or not. The default is that we don't, that we have plain HTTP not enabled. So I'm going to stick to that. And then the next option is whether we allow access without providing a token. The default is that we require one. We can go and turn this on. Relay client authentication type none. So now if I'm still requiring that you use HTTPS and that it's okay to come without a token. So I can make that work. So now clients can go and call me without a token. Let's go and run this again. Oops, I have to go and stop the other instance. Let's try that again. Here we go. So that now works. And now I can go and grab the web who method. And it tells me I am the server 1.0. So that gives me a serialized string. So now I was also able to call that publicly because I turned that boundary off from anywhere. I'm using plain HTTP from literally any device that can talk HTTP. Acquiring the tokens is actually not that hard. It's a fairly simple gesture on either OAuth wrap, or you can also use OAuth 2.0 profile that ACS, the Access Control Service, is supporting for acquiring that token, and that token is then being passed on to Service Bus over the HTTP path in one of two authorization headers that we supply to you, but that's something that I'm going to discuss in a future security model. So what you've seen so far here is a way to go and take a service, expose it, and consume it either on a SOAP path, as we did that here with the NetTCP relay binding. It's really just a switch and just adding some behaviors to an existing web service. You can do that also via configuration, or to do the same thing for web HTTP. And we're back in the studio. Thank you for tuning in and watching this sixth and final episode of the Getting Started with Service Bus series here on the Subscribe blog. I made this series kind of as a level setting thing so that people who don't have experience with the technology or are just getting started have some reference, some videos to look at. In the future, from this point onwards, it's going to be with that level setting content in place, I will go and on the Service Bus side, go and start drilling down into individual feature areas. And on the architecture side, I'm just going to assume that have the notion of the individual areas that I'm going to talk about. I'm also going to start talking about some basic patterns. I have started to talk about queues, start talking about subscriptions and topics as if the concepts were already introduced. If you were just following my blog and nothing else, you might still not know what a queue is for. You might still not know what a topic and a subscription is for. That's kind of by design, because I'm going to have some whiteboarding talks that I'm going to do about queuing and also about PubSub, kind of building on top of the whiteboard talk that I already have on push versus pull. So much for this series as a level setting experience. I hope you've enjoyed that, and I'm always happy about feedback. If you like the episodes, it would be nice if you would click the ratings button right next to the episodes on the website at the appropriate place. If you don't like them, please also let me know, but then also put something into the comments to that effect so I can go and improve things. Thank you, and I will see you, well, you will see me in the next episode I'm going to post here, which is probably going to be probably going to do one or two still before the end of the year, but most of the content is going to show up here in the next year. Bye-bye.